Jesus, Savior, may I know your love and make it known. Amen. Please be seated. A few of you probably saw this somewhere along the way this past week, that this past Thursday marked the 50th anniversary of the release of the album Abbey Road by the Beatles. And although it was not their final album, the recordings for Abbey Road were the last ones that included all four members of the band. And 3 years earlier, they had released the melancholy song known as Yesterday. And some of you probably saw a movie about the music of the Beatles, also called Yesterday, that hit theaters last spring. In that movie, there's a momentary global blackout that turns out to have been more than just a blackout. And in the midst of that, a struggling singer-songwriter named Jack gets into an accident with a bus while he's riding his bicycle at night. And after he leaves the hospital, he sings the song called Yesterday for his closest friends, who are stunned by the beauty of it. And the reason they have this odd reaction is because they've never heard of the song, and they've never heard of the Beatles. And Jack soon learns that not even Google remembers the Beatles. So Jack starts trying to remember all the words to their songs and writing them down. And as you might expect, a few times he stumbles and mixes up a word here or there, but he pulls it off, becoming wildly popular around the world as both the writer and the singer of those words. And in the background of the story, there are two people who appear rather ominously here and there. They're keeping an eye on Jack, following what he's doing, where he's going. And eventually, they both end up in a room with Jack and without anyone else around. And at that moment, Jack thinks he's been discovered as a fraud. But he's shocked to hear that they simply want to thank him. They want to thank him because they remember the music of the Beatles too, and they couldn't imagine a world without it. And so together they celebrate that a gift had been given back to the world. Now I'm going to be honest with you, Yesterday is not the greatest movie of all time. But the premise is really fascinating, and I had a lot of fun watching it, especially that moment of celebration, that moment of wanting to share something important with the rest of the world. And don't most of us long for that? Don't most of us long for that, especially now? There is so much unsettledness in the world and in our nation. And many of the institutions that we've taken for granted have been shaken in one way or another. And that includes churches of every tradition. Now, most of those things that are happening in the world around us are really beyond our control. And maybe that's relief in some cases. But there are places where we can, with God's help, make a real difference. And one of those places is right here at Palmer. Right here in this congregation, right here where the people of God offer a unique witness to the love of Jesus Christ in the city of Houston. A couple of years ago, I saw by chance a fascinating article that the Houston Museum of Natural Science had shared on Facebook, and some of you have heard me talk about this before. It was about a 99-million-year-old dinosaur tail that had been preserved in amber as though it had been created as a work of art. The soft tissue was covered in delicate feathers, and it was simply amazing. And so I reposted that article on Facebook and said, "This is so cool. Ornamental feathers on a juvenile calorosaur." I don't even know what that is. And yes, I embrace dinosaurs and evolution and science. As a Christian in the Episcopal Church, I can also say the creed without crossing my fingers, appreciate the mystery of things unseen in liturgy, and even support same-gender marriage. The universe holds a lot of different kinds of beauty that we often miss. And I have to tell you, I was so very touched by how many people said to me, "That's kind of how I want to talk about things, but I don't know how to put it into words. That's what I'm looking for." And there are lots of women and men who cross our paths with a yearning, perhaps unspoken, for something beyond the caricatures of Christianity that they have heard. And they can find a spiritual home at Palmer that's unique, that includes beautiful Anglican choral music, traditional liturgy, which invites us into both the mystery and the glory of God, an intellectual curiosity about creation and our place in it, and an openness to the work of the Holy Spirit in the world around us today. And they can hear words of mercy and love from this pulpit that overflow from our hearts and acts of mercy and love shown to our neighbors. And all of that taken together, you'd be surprised how many people don't believe such a community exists. This past week, I was in touch with a Moravian bishop in North Carolina whose work I have admired, and I told him I still have in my possession a handwritten letter from another Moravian minister we both know and someone who, when I was in high school, was an important leader of Southern congregations of the Moravian Church. And that letter from him was for me such a word of encouragement. And so I keep it close by. I keep it in a drawer here in the rector's study here at Palmer. And to the person for whom I was describing all of that, I said, I hope that you, in your vocation as a bishop, will be an encourager of young people who are like I was, curious about the world, astonished at the universe, in love with the complexity of the Bible. That note meant so much to me and was so unexpected. And to all of you here this morning, I say that you don't have to be a minister or a priest or a bishop to be a follower of Jesus who encourages other people made in the image of God just like you were. You can do that in your office, in your neighborhood, and in this community of faith. You can see this place as something more than your personal chapel in which you only think about your own needs. You can see yourself as part of something larger than yourself, larger than your own needs, larger than the mistakes that you can't let go. You and those whom you invite to join us can rest here in the arms of a loving Savior and nurture a generous spirit in order to take hold of the life that really is life. I love that phrase at the end of today's reading from the first letter to Timothy. In that ancient epistle, those who are wealthy, which by the standards of history and the rest of the world includes all of us, are encouraged to be generous and ready to share so that we can take hold of the life that really is life. Giving embodies the graciousness of God. It changes not only the recipients, but also the givers, freely giving part of themselves away, reflecting the same way that we have received God's love. And as you think about your own giving to this church now and in the year ahead, I hope you'll pray about the stewardship of community. I hope you'll recall the testimonies you have heard in our liturgies this month from people just like you and me. They have been honest about their struggles, they have been honest about their worries, and they have been found by God in this place. A couple of weeks ago, a Lutheran pastor tweeted these words that caught my attention. She said, "There are a great many people who want the institutional church to exist, but who don't want to invest in it. There will always be believers gathered, but there will not always be an institutional church unless we maintain it." She said, "If you want a living, breathing community of people called and transformed by God to love the world together, let's talk. That's what I want to build." And to that, I would only add that it is God who is the builder. And what she was talking about is what God is building here on Main Street with those who make this their spiritual home. And you do that. You make this your spiritual home by investing in it. And you invest in it through a spirit of generosity that comes from being loved by God in Christ, from having been reconciled to God through Christ. You invest in it by inviting others to see what grace looks like in this church, by encouraging those whom you meet within and beyond these walls, by your presence, by your prayers, by your financial pledge. Within the next 2 weeks, you'll receive a letter from me inviting you to consider your financial pledge to Palmer for next year. I simply ask you to compare what you give back to God, what represents offering your whole life to God, with your donation to your alma mater, your vacations across the country and overseas, your membership dues to private clubs, or whatever those extra things are in your life. Be honest with yourself about where you're investing the most, because that will reveal what you believe is most important. That's how you will know if you're taking hold of the life that really is life. I can't imagine a world without the love of Jesus Christ. And we come here each Sunday to remember the words of all the songs about that love. This is where we practice singing. This is where we practice singing them to tunes the world increasingly seems to have forgotten. It's as if we're living in the movie Yesterday, in a world that doesn't remember the music of the Beatles. And we have somehow, by God's grace, found one another so that we can remember something important not only for ourselves, but also for the life of everyone we meet. The love of Jesus Christ is what we come to know together here at Palmer. And that's what we are sent out into the world to share. That's our mission, to know and share the love of Jesus Christ. And you can invest in that mission today. This I believe. Amen.